This is part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled Sons of God.
Normally, we think, it takes 12 years to get through a normal education. Isn't that right? But this education can take a lot less time, or how many have noticed it takes a lot longer? There's some people who have been in the way 40 years, literally in the way. And why? Because they felt secure repeating the sixth grade over and over and over again. And why? Because they knew it. They were familiar with it. They were kind of scared to go out into advanced territory and meet challenges that they hadn't seen before. And so, for each one of us, we get to look at the chart, pick your point. Who are you? What do you want to be? Well, I certainly hope that every person here, no matter where you think you are, sees yourself going on to become a huios, a manifested Son of God. For I prayed for you, and I prayed, God send the kings and the priests, the joint heirs with Christ, those are going to go all the way. But, you see, though we have this as our goal, the fact is we're not there yet. We're kind of less than that. And as I'm looking you over, I see lots of technons, people still learning lessons. Do you know why? One of the major reasons that we have to go around the mountain again is that we haven't learned to be personally responsible for our own acts. For responsibility is your answer. The baby is not responsible. Later on, the child becomes more responsible to perform certain acts, but we do not expect them to be responsible for everything. Then the adolescent, the teenager, becomes more and more responsible until finally they're ready for maturity and marriage. Then they're responsible all the way, completely, 100% for themselves and someone else. And in a little while, someone else. For the responsibility is the key. Some Christians don't want to be responsible. Like the security of letting George do it. Am I making sense to anybody? Do you know what I'm talking about there? And because of that, we have an awful lot of repeating the same grade over and over again in our Christian maturity. It's time that we got our heads up, found out that there's another grade yet ahead, decided to work for a passing mark in this particular grade so that we can go on to the next one. Is that a reasonable request for you? The words that I pray are this: Lord, change me from what I am to what I ought to be. Have you heard me pray it? Over and over and over again. I bet you've heard it. If you've heard it once, you've heard it 100 times. Lord, change me from what I am to what I ought to be. For at the moment, I am not what I ought to be, but I'm not as bad as I was. At least I don't wet my diaper. And do you know something? A few years ago, not going to tell you how many, you would not have thought there was anything wrong with me if I did. Is that all right? Is that all right? Can I say that? But you see, we are changing. We are maturing. Now, we're going to become huios, manifested sons of God, but at the moment, we're technons. But it's a little complicated because a technon is also a son. And the word huios is son. And there are times that even a baby is called a son. A teeny tiny baby is a son. But certainly not the same kind of son as the context that we're talking about, a manifested son. There are times in the Scripture when the word huios is used for that whole group. See it right there? Everything. They even refer to teeny tiny babies as huios. But in the context, it's very obvious that at that time, it would be like Dave Ebaugh referring to his son Mike, who was 6 months old. Nothing wrong with that, is it? But most technically, if I referred to him as my baby Mike, you would understand in more detail what to expect out of him until I told you he was 6 years old. I mean 6 months. Then you'd know he was a baby. So if I just used the word baby, or if I described his age, either way, you'd catch it. But I could call him son no matter how old he was. Is that correct? And so the Bible also does that, and there are times in the study of these 400 or 500 words that I've run across that the word huios refers to a little baby or a child or an adolescent or a manifested son. So that's why I've gone through it and within the context of all the Scriptures pulled out these to show you exactly which Scriptures are very firmly teeny tiny babies and which ones are absolutely sons of God. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. We'll go to 4:1. I say the heir, as long as he's a child, he differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors to the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his huios, made of the woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Huios. Manifestation of the sons of God. Because you are huios, God sent the Spirit, sent for the Spirit of his huios in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The process of coming into the adoption, for you're taken out of one family and put in another. You understand adoption, don't you? You're removed from the natural and into the spiritual, or God, removed from one family into the other one. And when you're adopted into God's family, you come out from, verse 5, you're redeemed from, you're purchased away from, say it, the law. Okay. Conversely, what is it that keeps you from becoming a manifested son of God? Inability to go beyond the bush. The fact that you can't get beyond the bush shows that you're still under the, and therefore you're a paedion or a pace or one of these things, even a technon. And the technons are under the law and under grace because there's a mixture. But the huios, the manifested sons of God, are now purchased. See that word redeemed? You know what that means, don't you? 4:5. To be redeemed, it's what? Bought with some money, a price. Now you're redeemed and you're purchased away from the what? What's it say clearly? The law. My friends, our object is not to get away from our present father. Our object is to get under our future father. You follow the difference? Maybe you didn't. If your desire is to leave the law, you're wrong. If your desire is to go past the bush, you're wrong. The only reason you want to go past the bushes because you've heard about some other kids that did it, got away with it, and they said something neat's down there. But your Heavenly Father says, nope, bush is for you. You need the bush. Stay behind the bush. Don't go beyond the bush. You can go up and down in front of the house, down to the bush, but don't go any farther because there's something dangerous down there for you. And you know something? He's right. So if your desire is to go beyond the bush, you're wrong. If your desire is to leave the law, you're wrong. But if your desire is to enter the grace, if your desire is to be led of the Spirit, if your desire is to mature, if your desire is to get through the 10th grade so you can start the 11th, you're right. Our purpose is not to leave the 10th grade. Our purpose is to enter the 11th. Can you follow that? Can you see what I'm driving at? And so some, misunderstanding what we're saying, think that, good, praise God, that's all I wanted to hear. I'm going to turn the tables over now. I'm going to kick up my heels and throw out all the law. You can't do it. That's wrong. You need the bush. You need the law until the Spirit leads you, until God, your Father, sends the Holy Spirit and says, okay, now you can take the bike past the bush and all the way to the street. And you sound like a crying baby when you're crying to Daddy to go beyond the bush, to leave the law. But you sound like quite a mature and growing up person when you say to your dad, Dad, isn't it time that I was learning to ride the bike? Is that all right? Dad, is it time for me to learn to ride the bike? I feel like I can handle it now. Can I try the bike now? And if he says no, then shut up. He'll say at the right time because your father owns lots of bikes. You know, I'm talking about the heavenly one now. And he probably is more eager about your learning to ride the bike than you. If you can follow this. But if your desire is to leave the trike, it's wrong. If your desire is to ride the bike, it's right. If your desire is to leave the law, you're wrong. If your desire is to be led of the Spirit, you're right. Am I making sense? Your eyes look very big. By the grace of God, you're going to understand this lesson anyway. Galatians 4:5 says, the thing that's keeping you out of the manifestation of the sons of God is because you're still under the law. Now, what was the first lesson we taught here?
It's going to get burned up.
It's going to be burned up. What is it? The stoichion will be melted by a fervent heat. And what do we find the stoichion was? The law. Every time that the word stoichion was used, it was law. And the law is going to be smashed, the word melted, smashed, broken in pieces, crushed to tiny pieces. And it says very clearly that it's the law that's keeping us out of the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Come on, Bible students, down by, shake your heads. How many can remember 6 weeks ago? All right, that's what we were teaching. But you see, when we came out of the law and it began to be smashed, we still need law. So Jesus gave us some new laws. And we taught the lesson on 10 commandments or 4. Because, you see, we're still in society. And even if you do drive a car, somebody's going to have to agree that it's the right-hand side of the road. Isn't that all right? So even though you left the law of the trike, left the law of the bike, you're still under the law of the right-hand side of the road when you're car drivers. even on interstates. Did you know that? Still under law because of society. So Jesus said it this way. When you're meeting someone else and trying to determine what's right with that person and how to relate to this person, relate to this person with the law of love. For you see, love wouldn't hurt anybody. Is that right? I wouldn't ever hurt you. You wouldn't hurt me because we're lovers. And so in our decisions about who's to go which way and how we're going to go around this thing, we make decisions to keep from hurting each other. And so we've kind of got some things that are just plain implied now. I'll always be on the right-hand side, and when you're coming the other way, you'll be on the right-hand side, and we miss. Not only because I love you, because I love me. I want to miss. For you see, friend, if it was only Dave Ebaugh on the interstate, that's all there was, just me, I wouldn't be under law. I could drive down the right-hand side, the left-hand side, the middle. I could make a U-turn. I could do a couple twirlies in the middle. Whatever it was I wanted to do, I could do because I wouldn't be hurting anybody. Can you follow that? Until one other person appears on this world. And when another person appears, we're back under the law and rules. Rules of conduct, rules of society, so that the traffic can keep going. Can you see it? That's why we need it. And that's why we've got to leave it. We've got to leave it if we're led of the Spirit, because that's what's keeping you from being manifest as a son of God. But the desire to leave it is wrong. But the desire to be a son of God is right. And in coming into the manifestation of the Son of God, you will automatically leave the law and now be led of the Spirit. Somebody says it's going to be very dangerous at that time, and I agree. It's very dangerous to be led of the Spirit. Every person that I've ever known who was led of the Spirit was in trouble. And who were they in trouble with? Society. And why were they in trouble? They were breaking the law. Every person that I've ever heard of who was led of the Spirit, a friend of mine named Jesus was here 2,000 years, my elder brother, led of the Spirit and constantly in trouble with the church people. A friend of mine named Pete was here 2,000 years ago, ordered a BLT and was called on the carpet. Back to Jerusalem for ordering the BLT. Do you remember? The bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. It's not kosher. Peter was a Jew, and he's eating pig meat, bacon. But the Holy Spirit said, go ahead. You follow what I'm getting at? And whenever you're led of the Spirit, you can expect trouble. Not from God, but from men, from society, from the establishment, from the structure. Because the structure can only see their group of people. Their kindergarten, their grade school, their high school, their junior high. And the principal of that school thinks that everybody's going to spend his whole life in his school. I'm talking about your pastor now. I'm talking about your structure now. I'm talking about your denomination now. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so they're very uptight. Well, if you've heard me, I'm not finding fault with them because that's all they can see. Now, there are precious few who can see a little bit more, but most people who are denominationally oriented, by this time in this lesson, would be laying on the floor croaking. Because it's so upsetting to what they believe is true and truth. How many understand what I'm talking about? It would be completely opposite of what the truth is. What's the matter? Now look at your chart on spirit, soul, and body. The word soul is under the word technon. The word body is under huios. And that only left me one place to put the spirit. And that reminded me that when Jesus entered my heart, the first thing that ever happened to me was that Jesus came to my heart, and what was saved? My spirit. Then I began to mature for a while there until finally I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, and He began to deal with my... Therefore, churches that are involved with the soul salvation are involved with technons. Do you remember the denominations that I've talked to you about that are mainly involved with soul salvation? What do we call it? Well, the second work, the sanctification, the holiness, and that starts out basically with Methodists, Nazarenes, Pentecostals, and all those people. In a sense, I'd like to say they're beyond those who are dealing just purely with the heart realm, and yet I'd like to say this. Their meetings are very soulish, though they claim to be spiritual. I'm especially thinking of Pentecostal churches that claiming to be spiritual are really programmed mainly in the soul realm for their technons. Don't you remember how that works? The Spirit led a few weeks ago. We were singing a certain song. The Spirit came down and we had a glorious time. So what do we do this week? Sing the same song. And then we realize, well, of course, it was when so-and-so was playing. So we have them get on the organ and what do? We try to duplicate it, and it's no longer the spirit, it's the soul. It's a training process. Now, I have a right to speak this way because I was raised in that kind of church, and I know what I'm talking about. It's soulish. Led by the Spirit, sometimes, you see, these technons are under law and grace. In grace sometimes, in the freedom of the Spirit sometimes, but most of the time, under Daddy's heavy thumb yet, with rules and laws and commandments and traditions. The word body is under the word huios, for the manifestation of the sons of God in every case, E-V-E-R-Y, every case is in the physical body. The physical realm is for the manifestation of the sons of God, the huios of God. The babies, those who start in their Christian life, start by giving their what? Heart. That's why spirit is under the baby and child columns. Then maturing, they give their head, soul, to the Holy Ghost. And after that thing is worked out, they give their physical bodies for the glory of the Father. That's when they're manifested. This is my beloved Son, huios, in whom I'm well pleased. And what did they see? They saw nothing but a glory cloud, a bright shining light, the glory in the physical body. For these people, by then, are manifest as sons of God. Now, the next thing I have to say on the next column is a little bit more complicated, because when Jesus was referred to the Son of God, or the Son of David, or the Son of Man, there's a little difference. You see, when Jesus was referred to as the Son of God, He always was dealing with these children, these babies. When they called out, "Thou Son of David," And do you know in the Bible, a lot of times he was referred to the Son of David? They were always expecting a miracle, a tremendous miracle, for miracles are Pentecostal. That's why Son of David is in the Pentecostal column, the soul, technon, Pentecost column. And isn't it interesting that David's birthday is on Pentecost? No, death day. The Jews celebrate death days. And when we think in terms of David, we always think in terms of Pentecost. For David was the soulish preacher, the Pentecostal one. But the Son of Man uses the word huios, huios of man, and the manifestations are always in the physical body. Whenever Jesus was talking about the Son of Man, he said the Son of Man must be put on the cross. The Son of Man must be taken down. The Son of Man must be put in a grave. The Son of Man must be there 3 days. The Son of Man must ascend. And he was always talking a body, a physical body, manifestation. So in this realm, there's just a little bit of difference. I want to just point that out to you. Now go to Romans, please. Romans 8:23. I can't start in 8:23. I'll just have to start in 8:14. That's where I always start every time I get in Romans anyway. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Now, what would you think that? Let's guess. If you're led by the Spirit, you are the what? You're right. Huios of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit also itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are presently, now hold on, watch it, we are the, what do you think now? You got it. You got it. No, technons. Yeah. We are at the moment the technons. See, you're getting it. I can see that. We are the technons. And if technons, then heirs, truly we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, even though we're technons. See? If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. How many believe that teenagers believe they're suffering? And what are they suffering? They're suffering the lessons of turning into a huios. And he says, though we are huios of God, sons of God, we are at the moment now technons. And we're turning into manifested sons of God through the suffering. For I reckon, 18, that the sufferings of the present time are not, that's the learning periods, that's the high school, apprenticeship, trade school, advanced school, teenage, junior high. The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the doxa which shall be revealed in us at our huios. It doesn't say that, but that's what it means. For the earnest expectation of the creature. The word creature is not a grasshopper, but the physical body. Waiteth for the manifestation of the, now say it, huios of God. Now we're waiting for it. We haven't entered into it. We're technons learning the lessons to become huios. Oh, you are an interesting group of people here. You know, to me, this is thrilling. I am very excited to have this established in my mind, what I am. It really helps me to know what I am. At least if I know what I am, I know what I have to change to get into what I ought to be. Yeah, all right, what I ain't. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature, that's the body itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. Don't you know that means one of these days I won't need a big print Bible? One of these days when I look in the sink or the bathtub There won't be that hair floating around. That's the bondage of corruption. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.